I want to learn. I want to hear. And I want to receive what you've already said to me. And then build on it. In Jesus' name. So, I watched the game. And there's one of our intercessors that had a vision. And it was of the game. And that it would have, at the end, there would be a bomb that would go off. And that bomb would literally bring the Lord Jesus visible to the entire stadium. Well, I thought that's pretty cool. So I'm in a hurry to see the end of the game. I'm kind of, you know, stressed because I would like to see the Cincinnati group win. But I said, Lord, you know what you're doing. So when the Rams won, the first thing that bounced in my head was, we talked about this just a few days ago when I spoke up about the provision. And it was a ram that was in the thicket. Okay? I didn't realize that was forecasting the football game, but that was prophetic. So, you know, God provides so that you can see and let the world see what he's up to, even in a football game. So, you know, you say, well, God doesn't talk in football games. Yes, he does. Because in case you forgot, Donald literally flipped Joe. Okay? Now, I didn't catch on to that one until today because I didn't catch the names. Of course, that was brought to light today when I listened to a couple of people that were involved. And of course, Johnny Enlow called Mr. Schultz and they had a chit-chat and they spilled the beans. But the part that got me was Holy Spirit is saying something to the whole world at a football game. And it's not the first time that he does it. He does this on a regular basis if you have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that perceives what heaven is saying through the natural so that you can prepare for the next level. Because he doesn't want you dumb, in case you forgot. He wants you to see he's prophetically speaking to this whole nation. So I thought that was pretty cool. Watching the game and watching the strategy of the game, watching the abilities of the different members. And then there was also a young man, two of them gave glory to God at the end, saying God, you know, really sustained them. With the trophy, there wasn't as much. There might have been something, but I didn't catch it. So, but I caught enough to be able to see what Holy Spirit was really saying. He's blessing California. He's blessing them with a winning team. And that means there's going to be a flip that's going to take place. California's hurting. The people are hurting. But then there was another comment made by one of the guys that's on Fox News. He says, do you realize this particular bowl was built at the cost of $4 billion? I mean, your mind boggles to the reality. Then he made another comment. And this comment to somebody that thinks from the realm of God or a mental picture of God's plan shows you how heaven and earth are connected. Okay? He said, do you realize they dug down 100 feet into the ground to make this bowl happen? 100 feet down How many feet up on top of the ground? I don't know. But that spoke to me. Because again, they're digging down. What does it become? It becomes a well. It becomes a place of prayer. Right now, it might be football players. By this time next year, it could be full by Christians worshiping God. So think about it. Because you see, right away, my brain goes to John Paul Jackson, who prophesied the vision that he had when he came here. And he saw where we were in Amherst, filled to capacity, worshiping Jesus, and all the highway system totally blocked with ambulances from Europe coming in to be delivered. I never forgot that. So what is that bowl up in Amherst for? It's being prepared to give glory to our God. Amen? So, Holy Spirit tonight. In Jeremiah 23, he gave me this 2 days ago. Well, he gave me Jeremiah 22. It came to my mind. And then 23 said, "See, the storm of the Lord will burst out in wrath, and a whirlwind swirling down on the head of the wicked." Yeah. And of course, I didn't know that in 2 days' time we would have a revelation that there's a lot of stuff being what? Exposed about what the wicked have done. In fact, the unbelief in some is pretty dramatic. Verse 24 said, "The word of the Lord, bring them back." Holy Spirit, I truly lift up Israel and Jerusalem today. The Ukraine, Belarus, and Poland. Yes, for your hand is on your people. So, the angels of the Lord are on the job, ministering to prepare what is coming down the highway. And there are no accidents with the Holy Spirit. They're all on target to do a work to adjust this nation to become what it needs to be. And even the nations of the Middle East are involved. The wicked may be exposed, and I think that's procedural. But at the same time, the Lord is bringing back his people and bringing them back into Israel and Jerusalem. So again, Holy Spirit, you are the author, you are the finisher, and you will have your purpose and your plan to continue what you have started. And this morning, I was searching the heart of the Lord, and I ended up at Isaiah 30. And so if you will go to the Passion Translation, I will take you to Isaiah 30. And I pray that you'll begin to see the hand of the Lord on what he's doing. "Woe to the rebellious." This is what Yahweh says. "Woe to the rebellious children who carry out their own plans, but not mine, and who sign treaties without consulting my spirit, and piling one sin upon another." See, without consulting of the Holy Spirit, what have you got? You got a head trip. Verse 2, "You travel down to Egypt to find help without being guided by the words of my mouth." That's totally the opposite of John chapter 5, verse 19 and 30. "Instead, you put your trust in Pharaoh's protection." That's the political realm. Or the communities that you and I live in and expect them to take care. "Seeking shelter in the shadow of Egypt, Therefore, Pharaoh's protection will become your shame, and the shelter of Egypt's shadow will end in disaster. Though your officials arrive at Zoan, and your ambassadors reach far away at Hayes, all will be put to shame because of such unreliable people. They can offer you no help, only shame and disgrace. This is a prophecy of the desert animals. So got your ears there, girl? The burden of the caravan is to traverse a desert land. In distress and trouble, a land of the lions and the lionesses, the snakes and the fiery flying ones. They carry their riches on the donkey's back and their treasures on the camel's hump, to a nation that will give them nothing in return. Egypt's help is utterly worthless. That's why I nicknamed her Rahab, the do-nothing dragon. The message of God's to God's stubborn children. That's us. Okay? God told me to write down in a book words meant for the coming generation as an eternal witness. For they are stubborn rebels, children always telling lies, who refuse to listen to Yahweh and his instructions. They say to the seers, stop seeing your visions. They say to the prophets, stop prophesying to us about what is right. Prophesy only pleasant things to us, even if they're illusion. You see, what he's saying is the prophets only can be allowed to be accepted when their prophetic message is comfortable for the population. But that's not what Jesus was, and that's not what John the Baptist was. And that you've got some people out there now really speaking the truth, identifying what's going on, and I'll tell you, they will be harassed. But they've also said, harassment, they know, is part of the deal. Okay? So, verse 11. Leave this narrow way. Turn aside from this harsh path. Don't confront us anymore with the Holy One of Israel. So they don't want to hear about God. And today, when the door opened to speak about the Holy Spirit, to speak about the angels that are on the job, bringing healing to families, to be able to open that up with this individual that God had provided was a big miracle for me and my wife. Now, for somebody else, no big deal. But because we know the circumstances of this person and the difficult life that they've lived and survived, that's the other part. Surviving a difficult season in your life or years of difficulty in your life and still having to keep on going and saying, yes, God, I'm going to keep on going, putting one foot in front of the other. Don't ever underestimate Papa's watching every step you take. Every time you come back to church, every time you go out to worship God, he is watching you and he's listening and he's hoping your mouth will match his idea of what's coming. Oh, I guess I'm preaching, huh? 12. Therefore, this is what the Holy One of Israel has to say. Because you have despised this message and trust in your own clever abilities to deceive and to rely upon oppression, your own sins will become like a high bulging wall that is cracked and about to collapse. In an instant, it will all fall down. It will break into pieces like shattered pottery, smashed to ruthlessness, smashed so ruthlessly that not even a fragment big enough to pick up a hot coal or scoop up water from a cistern will be found. Lord Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel, says, come back to me. By returning and resting in me, You will be saved. So he wants you to what?
Return and rest.
Return and rest. Then watch this part because it's super important. In quietness and trust, you will be made strong. In quietness and trust, you will be made strong. But you refuse. How do you refuse? By complaining? By finding a strategy that's more comfortable? And trying to change someone else and you can't? So you refuse. And though you boast, no, we will flee on horses. Natural power. You will indeed flee for your lives, you say. We will ride on a swift horse. I'm sorry. We will ride on swift horses. But you, your pursuers will be swift to chase you. 1,000 will flee at the threat of 1. And all will flee at the threat of 5. Until nothing will be left of you. Like a lonely flagstaff on the top of a hill. Or like a signpost on a barren mountain. God's promise to his holy people. For this reason, the Lord is still waiting to show his favor to you. And so he can show you his marvelous love. He waits to be gracious to you. He sits on his throne, ready to show mercy to you. For Yahweh is the Lord of justice, faithful to keep his promises, overwhelmed with bliss, all who will entwine their hearts in him. This particular verse really got to me. For Yahweh is the Lord of justice, faithful to keep his promises, Joe. Overwhelmed with bliss are all who will entwine their hearts in him, waiting for him to help them. Yes, the people of Zion who live in Jerusalem will weep no more. How compassionate he will be when he hears your cries for help. He will answer you when he hears your voice. Even though the Lord may allow you to go through a season of hardship and difficulty. Again, Joe, are you listening? He himself will be there with you. Say, he's going to be with me. And he is with me. Whenever there's all kinds of difficulties. And I get discouraged. He's right there with me. Take a deep breath. Let it go. He will not hide himself from you. For your eyes will constantly see him as your teacher. When you turn to the right or turn to the left, you will hear his voice behind you to guide you, saying, this is the right path. Follow it. You want to take a step of faith? Lift one hand to the Lord. Say, when I turn to the right, or I turn to the left, I will hear his voice behind me to guide me, saying, this is the right path. Follow it. I'm going to stop there because I want to revert back to a couple of those verses about the horses. Because most of you saw the centerpiece that my wife and I received for Christmas from one of our family members. And it's a beautiful centerpiece. And I had a little house on top, very attractive. And of course, the little horse, which was part of the prophetic word that my wife received 2 years ago. So, yesterday was Valentine's Day, and there was a press in my heart to go buy three roses. So I went to the florist that did that centerpiece, and I've known this woman for 40 years, and her husband for probably 60 years. And when I walked in, she was busy with someone else, so she kind of just, you know, made a signal, and I went and waited. And so when she was able to break away, because she had a customer there that was preparing for wedding flowers, and they were picking out, and they were waiting for other members of the family to come in. And so anyway, me and this young lady went to a different area, and I said, I want to thank you for providing a miracle. She says, what miracle? I said, well, you're the one that called me to verify that we had received the centerpiece that our son had sent through you, and you delivered it. Oh, yes, she says. Oh, I remember. I said, well, you should. I said, however, are you aware that on that little house in the front yard, there's a horse? Oh, no, she says, I don't remember that part. So I took out my phone and I showed her the picture that I had taken of her workmanship. And of course, you know, opened it up so she could see the horse. So, well, what does that have to do with a miracle? So I told her about Susan giving a word of knowledge over my wife over 2 years. It'll be 2 years and a half pretty soon, right? And now we see the fruit. Because I said, what you sent us is that little horse to remind us where she was physically 2 years ago and where she is now. And that's a total, total victory that God has provided. She says, I never heard of horses. I said, well, horses are horsepower. When you buy a car or you buy a motorcycle or a truck, you go by the amount of horsepower. Oh, she says, I never heard of that. I said, well, I'm here to educate you, but you have no idea. So then she informs me why that house is so special. It's a Kincaid replica. Oh. And it's a collector's item. Wow. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And so I was blessed because I was able to bless her. Because, again, I've known this young lady. I met her at Thea's, the Christian bookstore in Westfield, and her mother. I knew her mother. So, you know, God puts things together. Even when you get a little older, you know, you're not losing anything. You just have more value because you got more time.
Oh.
Amen.
Amen.
Boy, I'm glad. You had an opportunity there. Whoa.
It's true.
A wide open door. Amen?
Yep.
Say, I'm older.
Older.
And I'm better.
I'm better.
They are older, right? That what?
Older, better, wiser is how I look at it.
That's good. So now you know that you can also bless the one who blessed you.
Yep.
Okay? And let them know. So I teased her about, you know, her hubby wasn't there, but I've known her husband. I knew her first husband quite well, and I knew her because her husband was our accountant when we sold the business. So he was our accountant for 3 years, and so I knew her then, and now God is reestablishing, I guess you could call it. So Holy Spirit, just continue now to give us grace. When we see someone that has done something special for us, Let us give grace and favor to them for what they have given to us to build them up, that they are actually a tool that God will use to bless others in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. So that's my story.